Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 44. Purvabhyasena tenaiva Priyate yavishopi saha Dinasyapi yogasya Shabda brahma divartite Purva, previous, abhyasena, by practice, tena, by that, eva, certainly, viyate, is attracted, he, surely, avasha, automatically, api, also, saha, he, Jignasu, inquisitive. Api, even. Yogasya, about yoga. Shabda Brahma, ritualistic principles of scriptures. Artivartite, transcend. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life, he automatically becomes attracted to the yoga principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. Purport. Advanced yogis are not very much attracted to the rituals of the scriptures, but they automatically become attracted to the yoga principles, which can elevate them to complete Krishna consciousness, the highest yoga perfection. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.7, such disregard of Vedic rituals by the advanced transcendentalists is explained as follows. Aho vata svapacho to garyan yaj jiva gre vartate namatubhyam tepes tupas te javu shasna arya ramanu chora namagrinanti ete. O my Lord, persons who chant the holy names of your Lordship are far, far advanced in spiritual life, even if born in families of dog-eaters. His chanters have undoubtedly performed all kinds of austerities and sacrifices, bathed in all sacred places, and finished all scriptural studies. The famous example of this was presented by Lord Chaitanya, who accepted Thakur Haridas as one of his most important disciples. Though Thakur Haridas happened to take his birth in a Muslim family, he was elevated to the post of Namacharya by Lord Chaitanya, due to his rigidly attended principle of chanting 300,000 holy names of the Lord daily. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And because he chanted the holy name of the Lord constantly, it is understood that in his previous life, he must have passed through all the ritualistic methods of the Vedas, known as Shabda Brahma. Thus, therefore, one is purified, one cannot take to the principles of Krishna consciousness or become engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna. So the text again. Purvabhya sena tenaiva riyate yavashopi saha lignasya api yogasya shabda brahmati vartate. By virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life, he automatically becomes attracted to the yoga principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. This is the Krishna's concluding the middle portion, the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, it's not that Krishna was speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and he said, Arjuna, this is the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, which have to do with as Prabhupada states, the principles of the yoga system that helps one elevate oneself to self-realization. And the middle six chapters are dealing exclusively with pure devotional service, and the last six chapters deal with the philosophy that supports devotion. So it's not that Krishna said, well, we're almost at the end of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, And we're almost concluding with the what is the processes of self-realization. So now let's start with devotional service. I don't think Krishna divided his seminar exactly in three parts. But since Krishna has been speaking to the Bhagavad Gita since time immemorial, he's pretty much accomplished in what he wants to do. And therefore the strategy of presenting self-realization at different stages as karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga is quite intelligent, especially since it comes from God, who has all intelligence. In that way, Krishna had a little bit for everyone. If one was a karmi, was interested in karma yoga, Krishna in the second chapter says, karma eva vidikaraste ma palesha gadachana ma karma pala hetorvora ma te sangha sukarmini. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you you shouldn't perform your prescribed duty. You should surrender, give up everything and surrender to me. No, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but don't become attached to the results of your activities, and don't be inclined not to do your work. So Krishna said, all right, if you're a karma yogi, or if you're even, that you have a right, you should do your duty, but don't get entangled in the results. Otherwise, you're not doing karma yoga. And you're just getting entangled. And for the Astanga yogis, Krishna will say, yoginam api sarvesham, magdaten antaratmana, sharavan bhajate omam, samay yuktatam omataha. That of all the different kinds of yogis, you're the best, the one who is engaging in meditating on me with great and transcendental faith, and in that way engaging devotional service, is the most intimately connected with me in yoga and is the highest of them all. So for the yogis, there's that verse. For the jnanis, there is bonam janmanante, jnanamam prapadyate, vasudeva sarvam iti sarmahatma sudurlabha. That after passing through many, many births and deaths, one who has actually knowledge of me, surrenders unto me, knowing me to the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. So for the jnanis, it's encouraging. Yes, keep on studying, performing austerity, following the jnana yoga process, and one day you'll come to me. You'll come to understand me. Therefore, this glorification of performing Astanga yoga and the jnana yoga system is there in Bhagavad Gita, but we should understand that Krishna is always recommending, ultimately, that we should perform bhakti yoga, that there's no need to perform all these other types of activities for self-realization. As he says, vedeshu jagneshu tapasu chaiva, deneshu yet punya pralam prativyam, adyeti tasaramidam viditva, yogi param sanam upaiti chaidyam. That one who takes to this process of devotional service, he automatically gets the results of vedeshu, studying the Vedas, jagneshu, performing sacrifice, daneshu, giving in charity, vedeshu, jagneshu, daneshu, chaiva, is that right? What's that? Tapasu, doing austerity, and at the end, Vedeshu jagneshu tapasu chaiva, deneshu yat punya palam pradivyam, performing pious activities, adyeti tasarami damviditva yogu parasaram upaiti chaidyam. But if you just chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, worship the deities, engage in the nine principles of devotional service, automatically everything that you need to do this will be provided to you. And you'll get the ultimate result of all these different activities, which is to become Krishna conscious. Iti te jnanam akyatam. Yomam eva samudo janati purushottama sasaravit pujante mam sarabhavena bharata. This is the most confident, anyone who knows me, yomam eva masamudo. Anyone who knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatma shastram idan yuktva mayanaga etam bhutva buddhimatsyat krita kritasthivarata. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic literature. Anyone who knows this wise will become his activities will become perfect. Let's see. Iti guyatma shastram idam yukva mayanaga etam bhutva will be, everyone who knows, who follows this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Krita kritas bharata. So again, we have to, Krishna is including the indirect process, so that those who are not attracted to the direct process, or don't have the ability to practice the direct process, can understand that what they're doing in terms of karma yoga, or jnana yoga, or astanga yoga, will also bring them ultimately to the goal. Just by performing these activities, one will not come to the goal, but one will give their stepping stones to the goal. And this is what's emphasized throughout the Bhagavad Gita. That if you go all the way up to Astanga Yoga, and you even see the Super Soul, but you don't know that Krishna and the Super Soul are one, that you're seeing the Super Soul, and instead you want to merge into the Super Soul, or you think that you are the Super Soul, then you've just wasted your time performing the Astanga Yoga system. On the other hand, if you perform the Astanga Yoga system like Kardama Muni, and you see the Supreme Personality of God within your heart, and you surrender to Him, then you've reached the perfection of the yoga system. You can start bhakti yoga. Whereas some of Prabhupada's sannyasis were in India in the early days, and they went to one temple, and they told the pujari that, you know, how much they appreciated, you know, the deity worship that was going on in the temple. And the pujari said, yes, you know, if you perform your service very nicely, and you then in the future you may become qualified to become a pujari in some temple in India. So when Prabhupada heard this, when the sannyasis told him that, you should have told him, yes, if you do your pujari service very nicely, in the future you might become qualified to become a preacher of the Hare Krishna movement around the world. So people have their priorities, and it's practically impossible to convince people that what they're doing is not the highest. Even in the Vedic literature, you have, in different Puranas, in different parts of the Vedas, you have glorification of Indra as God. You have glorification of Shiva as God. You have glorification of Devi, Durga, as the supreme deity in the universe. So this is Agni is there as the supreme. So this is there because people can't worship with their full heart unless if they think, well, actually I'm doing second-class service here to this deity. I should be actually worshiping Krishna, but I don't like Krishna. I'd rather be a demon than worship Krishna. He's the guy we're after, like Ravana or Hiranyakashipu. They were inspired to worship one of the demigods. So that's there. Taraka apratishta shutiya vibhina nasavari shiryasya nibhinam. There is always going to be arguments, and different scriptures will say different things, and the rishis say different things. But dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena katasabhanta. Ultimately, we have to choose. The human form of life means choosing. And we have Bhagavad Gita, and we can read Bhagavad Gita and see if it makes sense. If actually Krishna is God, and worshipping the demigods is secondary. After reading the whole Bhagavad Gita, if we come to the conclusion that actually Krishna is just one of the demigods, and I should surrender to Shiva, well, that's our decision. That's our personal decision. If that's the conclusion, that's the intelligence we get after reading Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna was a little proud declaring himself God. And therefore I should use my intelligence and surrender to the real God, you know, Durga Devi, and, you know, go to India and take part in the Durga Pujas if I want to get perfection, material advancement. Then that's our decision. But that's not the conclusion of the founder Acharya of our society, ISKCON, which is aimed at convincing people that Krishna is God and using the Bhagavad Gita to do it. Now, if someone comes up to another conclusion, they can present the arguments and try to convince, well, in the proper forum, which we probably wouldn't give them, and the temple leaves, that actually Shiva is God or Indra is God, or we should give up this worship of this coward boy, aborigine coward boy in Vrindavan, once in a while, you know, gets inspired and tells his friend something about that he's God. Then if someone wants to come along and present arguments, so we can see if, you know, where Shiva says that he worships Vishnu, etc. We can have our arguments and they can have their arguments and everyone can decide what they practically want to do. But ultimately it gets down to what you practically want to do. If you stay in this class, in these classes, you decide that actually this philosophy doesn't make any sense and that I should go and study the Shiva Samhita to find out what reality is, then one is completely free to do that. Many people do that. And they wind up doing different activities like smoking ganja or marijuana or whatever to get self-realization, or maybe they have other rituals they perform. Durga worship, they take the deity in a big festival, and then after the festival is over, they throw the deity into the river, the Ganges. So if one wants to follow that kind of worship, one is free to do it, and it's also part of the Vedic culture, but one will have to get the results of such activities. So one has to decide intelligently which is the best path to us, for us to use this human form of life, and then make progress. Now, after hearing Bhagavad Gita about this yoga system, one may decide, let me practice the yoga system. But if we want to practice it as Krishna wants, then we should do as Krishna says. As Prabhupada said in one letter, in the Gurukul, he said, if people want to practice the yoga system, you should set a room aside for them in the Gurukul. You should get them to lay a kusha grass on the ground in that room and cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth, and let them sit on it, stare at their nose, and see if they can get self-realization. So you should follow, at least if you want to follow the yoga system, then we recommend follow Krishna's explanation of the yoga system. Of course, it's good if you can find someone who's following that yoga system and learn from them, but that you'd have to probably go to some remote part of the Himalayas and bring along a lot of prasadam, because there's probably not a lot to eat during certain times of the year. So Prabhupada said that the yoga system may be possible for very select people, but for the people in general, it's not possible. For the people in general, the chanting Hare Krishna is recommended. And we offer our philosophy to demonstrate that. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments?
Hare Krishna. If a person is highly developed, then he lives not in Kali Yuga but in Satya Yuga, as you mentioned once before. And what Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada describes is the pinnacle of all development. So if we get hundreds of thousands of people attain such a pinnacle, then won't this world turn into Vaikuntha rapidly? Like if we have so many people at a very high level of development.
Yes, part of it will, but there's always people who don't want to be part of Vaikuntha. It's like they're in Kali Yuga, which is raining. Some people will carry umbrellas and they won't get affected by it. But other people don't mind getting wet. So it depends on who you are. For some people will be in Vaikuntha and other people will be in hell, depending. Of course, it's supposed to increase the next 10,000 years, but it's clear that even in Satya Yuga, not everyone is in Satya Yuga, everyone is strictly following the principles of Satya Yuga. That's why eventually Treta Yuga begins. People become more prominent who are not following so strictly. But if it became Vaikuntha, what would be the problem? Who would complain, except for a few demons? Would you have any objection if it became... Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Mahabhagavad Gita Ki Jai.